Welcome to the Poetry Vlog Podcast Edition. A couple quick updates. There will no longer be flash briefings unless it's the week of a longer featured episode. So those weeks will have the 2-minute poetry readings or fiction readings leading up to a guest appearance. It'll be the Monday through Thursday leading up to the Friday episode. Maybe I'll change around the days of the week, but 4 readings leading up to them. If you have no idea what I'm talking about with the flash briefing readings here on the podcast, you can just go ahead and look in the app and you'll see all of the episodes that start with the phrase flash briefing poetry reading. And that's where you'll find the short 2-minute readings leading up to the longer episodes. This particular episode is the podcast edition of the webinar that I had the privilege of doing with the National Youth Poet Laureate Ambassadors. Since then, Kara Keeling was selected as this year's National Youth Poet Laureate, but that in no way minimizes the work that each of the regional National Youth Poet Laureates are doing. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. As always, you can find the video version, since it is a webinar, over on the YouTube channel. There's plenty of links in the description. And if you're looking for free ways to support this education project, all of your ratings and reviews over on iTunes have been extremely helpful. And if you're like, oh, I would love to contribute to the different technologies that go into the poetry vlog, the video equipment has been provided from the Mellon Foundation this summer. But I'm still going to have ongoing costs related to storing all of these giant files, as well as hopefully upgrading the audio equipment. So if you're wanting to contribute to the education project, you can go to anchor.fm/thepoetryvlog/support. But there's no pressure. It's free education, as education should be. And I just hope that you learn something and enjoy this episode. Hi everybody, welcome to the Poetry Vlog. I am excited today to bring you a bonus episode that is a direct collaboration with the incredible National Youth Poet Laureates. There are 5 ambassadors for each region. Hopefully if you've been keeping up, you already saw 3 one-on-ones with Kara Jackson, Jackson Neal, and Azura Tayabji. Today you're going to see Marin in the episode as well. Marin Whitting is an incredible youth poet who we're going to do a one-on-one episode with later this year. And then Haviland was unable to join us this time, but will be joining a future episode. It was just a matter of traveling. This was a Zoom conference call done with them when they were all gathered, because the next day they would be performing at the Library of Congress and the National Youth Poet Laureate was about to be named. It ended up being Kara Jackson, but I want to highlight something now, that while this is kind of a competition, at the same time, these youth poets are going to be working together in coalition all year to organize and center arts that are also civic action. So I'm extremely privileged to be able to use the vlog platform in support of that work. I would love it if you commented, followed, did all of the things for each of these artists and young people in order to show them your explicit support for the work that they're doing. It's incredibly difficult as a young person to do that work, and we are enormously privileged that young folks are willing to do that work. For the Poetry Vlog content, you can always go to thepoetryvlog.com. You'll find more information there. There will be a podcast version of this as well over anchor.fm/thepoetryvlog or anywhere you podcast, really. I have it on 11 different distributors. You just search The Poetry Vlog, V-L-O-G, but it's not pronounced V-log, just vlog. I know it's kind of a lingo thing. But I also want to make note that Urban Word NYC are really one of the main organizations behind the National Youth Poet Laureate Program, so I'd love for you to go check out their information. Just urbanwordnyc.org. Dr. Camilla Davis, I also did a one-on-one episode with her. She's like the brains and a lot of the labor behind this work with the National Youth Poet Laureates. So major shout out again and again and again. Go listen to her speak more about her own work. Check out her websites in the description alone. It's camilladavis.com. And all the other links are down there as well. As always, leave comments. This time, just leave supporting comments for these youth poets. They're doing amazing work. All right, I hope you enjoy this webinar. As always, reach out to me at crgrimmer@thepoetryvlog.com, and I hope that you continue to be in coalition all year, and especially during April, National Poetry Month. Enjoy. Hi everybody, welcome to the Poetry Vlog, and today we have our National Youth Poet Laureates all with us in the room. Haviland's joining tomorrow, so unfortunately not, but everybody else is here. And I'm excited because this one will be posted up with Urban Word, because they're doing so much to support these poets and this type of work. Shout out to Dr. Camilla Davis, who's basically like the raddest scholar, teacher, activist, artist person I've met in the last 5 years, right? And she's been doing so much effort to organize all this and put it together. And shout out to the Mellon Foundation for providing equipment for the summer and making sure I don't have to teach for a month so I can get this stuff out. Now that the shoutouts are over, the real shoutouts are to our guests. So will you go around and introduce yourselves? Tell us what your name is, what your pronouns are, or the pronouns you're using right now at least, right? Because it's okay if they change in life. And then, and then something interesting about you that has nothing to do with you being, or seemingly nothing to do with you being, like, you know, National Youth Poet Laureate, gods and goddesses, and so on. And then a little bit about yourself as an artist.
Hello. I'm Maren Lovey Wright Kerr. She, her pronouns. I'm 17 years old. I already forgot the other criteria, so I'm forgetful. A fun fact about me, I guess, I have a do-rag collection. I have about, like, what? 20 in my home.
What?
Just to have.
Wait, a what collection?
A do-rag collection for my hair.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Generally out and about, sliding out a little bit.
Yes.
And the other thing was about, like, us as an artist, right?
Yes.
Well, when I talk about myself as an artist, I like to describe, well, I actually, like, I have a tattoo, I don't know if you can see it, but it just says write. I actually got it matching with my mom and my sister, because, like, the three, like, I'm a Wright woman, like, that's my, like, last name that comes from my mom.
And so that's really cute.
So, I don't know.
It's
alright. Yeah.
No. Wow.
And I don't know, like, me as an artist, like, I've always, basically, I want to be my mom when I grow up, basically. So I kind of became a writer, like, so I could start doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is, like, the sweetest intro to themselves I think someone's ever given. It's extremely emotional. I love that. Perfect. Thank you, Maren. Who wants to go next?
I can take it. Hi, y'all. My name is Jackson Neal. I'm 19 years old. My pronouns are he and they. Fun fact about myself, I can put one foot behind my head.
You're right.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So what's
you have
song?
To prove it.
I didn't think you actually did.
Oh yeah. Listen. Put your money where your mouth is. Come on.
Wait. How did you develop that skill?
So I think that, like, it just stayed with me. I was in, like, gymnastics when I was really really young, and, you know, like, and then I did taekwondo for a really long time, and I was the youngest person, so I had to fight people who were, like, 3 feet taller than me. So it just, you know, I got really good at, like, dislocating my head. Yeah, great. I guess a little bit about me as an artist. I started in performance. I primarily moved through poetics, but I've been doing a lot of visual work right now. So I've been really messing with the form of a poem. A lot of my poems have been, like, happening on top of photographs, and sometimes I'm, like, stitching through the actual, like, textile on which the poem is printed, or, like, they're poems that fold onto themselves. And a lot of that work, I think, is just, like, deconstructing the architecture of the poem as it's been handed to us. I think there's a lot of consequence to when we just, like, accept these mythical rules around what a poem is, and so trying to break that down and perhaps some of the things that get locked inside of it when we adhere so blindly.
Perfect. Thank you. I have to give a shout out to, like, all of my students for a second, because they're taking multimodal poetry classes. So, you know, like, big heart to them, because they all create these rad projects where I'm like, shit, you're all ahead of me, which is the best. All right, Kara. Well, I guess I already said your name for you, but introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, I'm Kara Jackson. I'm 19, and what even else are we supposed to say? And I use she, they pronouns. And something interesting about me, I don't know, I have been playing the banjo a lot lately. I really love the banjo. That's, like, a fun fact about me, I guess. It's one of my favorite instruments. It's one of my favorite sounds. I think, like, if there's a banjo part in a song, I just get really attached to that part. And then I guess that kind of goes with just what I'm thinking about in terms of my art right now. Because I do music and poetry, and there are a lot of intersections within that. But I just have been thinking a lot about how sound can speak and have its own moment in my work that exists entirely outside of just language itself. And even though I'm obsessed with language and I love words, I've been really thinking about how sound can work in place of words. So when I like how I can use my voice when I'm singing to evoke some type of emotion without saying it, or just even if it's not like an emotion, like how, like what would that like sentence or like what would a line in my poem sound like if I couldn't speak it out loud or if I couldn't write it down. And that's been really interesting because that means that I have to sing a lot more than sometimes I'm used to. But it's also really cool because it's like pushing me to think about how melodies are also doing the work of creating forms in the same way that poems do.
Cool. I love that. We already talked in our episode about my obsession with music in place of poetry all the time, but I have to keep giving shout-outs anyway. So my friend Patrick, that's all he does and studies and obsesses over it too. So I think he'd especially dig your stuff. And shout-out to people watching. You post, try not to swear on this as much, you post stuff on your Instagram all the time so people can check out your awesome musical talent. It's rad. All right. Take it away. Tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Azura Tayabji. I use she, her pronouns. A cool fact about me, what I could think of in this moment, is that I really, really love early 2000s pop music. Like female pop artists in general. I'm a huge Lorde stan. So that's a cool fact about me. So many theories about her songs and how they relate to astrology. A little bit about me as a poet. I came into poetry also like through performance, through Poetry Slam. And I also like came into poetry as it was like intrinsically linked to organizing. So like anti-racist, like youth-led organizing in Seattle. So in that way, like, I kind of treat my poetry as, like, this is, it's like a tactical, like, reflection and response to, like, my world. And I'm also, like, really inspired by, like, envisioning a new world outside of, like, just responding to the hardship that's currently happening. So, yeah, speculative.
Cool. World building. Yeah, that's the hard stuff. Good job. I love that. All right. So now that everybody knows you're amazing, obviously, I want to quickly summarize something that I actually love about all of your all's work is that you're all very invested in different like modes, like sound or movement or like even like 3D printing, right? Or like moving through objects in a way that a lot of folks aren't until they're a little bit older. So it's pretty rad that you're like starting from that vantage point. So I think it brings in different questions about the body, which oftentimes comes up then when I talk with you individually too. All right, so you want to talk about democracy, right? We'll start there. What were your thoughts today? Hi in the background. What were your thoughts today on, that's really funny, who's there?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2018 National Youth Poet Laureate Patricia Fraser.
Oh my goodness!
Hey! My best friend Kendall Flowers, who's also a poet from Ann Arbor.
Alright! Democracy, what did you want to say about that? Because that's a giant scary word. Maybe for some people it's not scary. To me it's terrifying. It's a big scary word, right? What? Yeah, why?
So we'll just see where this goes. I think like we started the conversation when we first had it over dinner, like with Dr. Camilla saying how, you know, the poet laureate historically has been a civic one. And thinking like in my own reflection on being like a youth poet laureate, it's definitely like compelled me to try to like captured the zeitgeist of like broader America, which is like a really big deal, just like the word democracy to begin with. Like we also talked about how like poetry and democracy are like tools of each other in a way, which I'm still thinking about and processing. So I don't know if y'all wanna.
Yeah, I think one of the questions that came up today was how do we, like, as poets, move through spaces that perhaps aren't regarding poetry as, like, a political tool or as a form of activism? something that came up was that a lot of times people hear poetry and they're like, okay, cool, so like you work in literary arts. And, you know, the response is always yes, but it's so much more than that. Like, poetics, the act of envisioning new and better spaces, manifests itself in a very, like, tangible form of activism. Like, yes, we're poets, but we are also the faces at the protests. We are also the ones, like, bringing folk to the polling stations. Like, poetics doesn't stop on the page, but is actually, like, integral to creating a more diverse and just democracy.
I think with that also, I've been thinking about basically what you said, but also thinking about how language specifically has always been a tool to navigate freedom and like the relationship between language and literacy and freedom. Just thinking about my own lineage and what it means to be able to use your words and what it means to be able to express yourself using language. I think about somebody, like, I've been reading a lot of Phyllis Wheatley and returning to a lot of her poems, and language saved her life, and language allowed her to be visible in a way that no other poet, like, nobody had been visible in that way before her. So that's also, like, thinking about how people trivialize poetry and reduce it to some type of art form that doesn't matter when it actually does matter in terms of our livelihood and our visibility and how language ultimately is a pathway to visibility and to freedom, and how that deals with democracy specifically, because I don't think democracy is inherently free at all. And so thinking about how language can deconstruct, even taking a word like democracy and deconstructing that word, I think that's kind of also what we were talking.
I actually really like how we've started with sort of first summarizing the general conversation around it, what poetry has to do with it. And you said then you started to deconstruct even just the word democracy. What do you mean by that? Like, what came from kind of breaking that word apart a little bit? And how did that relate to some of the, like, civic action, right, is a big word that comes up around youth poet laureates or national poet laureates and so forth. Right. So what did deconstructing democracy do? Or, like, what sort of inquiry comes out of that?
So the word democracy comes from the Greek demos, meaning people, and kratos, meaning rule. You know.
I was like, all right.
Yeah. And so I think that's really interesting, just in terms of when you think about that in the context of the foundation of this nation, who was people? Who got to be people? Who decided who was people? There's a serious consequence to that and how we carry it. Right, it's very nice and well to think of, you know, American democracy as everybody is included, but when you break down the word to its roots, it's people being ruled or ruled by the people, but who, right? And when you really interrogate what the characters at hand are, it really unravels the way in which democracy is so tragically flawed, especially like its foundation as a primarily white institution. As an institution that seeks to oppress people that aren't within its very specific definition of people.
I also have been thinking about a lot of that. Well, to bring it back, like, within the realm of poetry, I feel like people often, like, mistake our job to be, like, giving voices to the voiceless. And I've been thinking about that in terms of, like, no one is, like, voiceless unless you're, like dead or in a coma, I guess. But like, if I often think about it as either like we need to give ears to the earless, because like people have voices, people are just not listening. And I've been thinking about that a lot, like in terms of, I kind of lost my train of thought.
No, I actually really love that. There's a shout out reading I want to give. Gayatri Spivak is sort of like a seminal text called, like, Can the Subaltern Speak? And it talks about how a huge problem with white savior complexes and sort of white heteropatriarchies is that it's all about assuming a sort of, like, inferior stance of someone having a voice in the first place. Then you swoop in and bestow a voice, or people have to represent a whole with a voice. But it just repeats that power dynamic and that violence, right? So I love that even as you're in these positions, you're already interrogating the premise that a lot of people have, like, when they enter that room with you, which is that you have to represent, or they're giving you some kind of voice that you didn't already have, which is like really, really violent, right? And it's rooted in deciding who's a person legally and who's not. I don't want us to stall on democracy too long because I know that we have two other things you want to talk about. And one is the Library of Congress is where you're having to do a lot of your work.
I don't know. I mean, my family is coming to this. I think I'm thinking about it from that frame because it's also complex because doing this work and thinking of myself as an activist and a radical person, I don't even really... Thinking about like my relationship with the government and these spaces and these buildings, I'm generally not indifferent. I'm totally opposed to those spaces, and I don't really need those spaces to do the work that I want to do. But then there's also something very special about giving my family a chance to see me in a space like that and to have that role even for a moment. I think that it's really been a matter of thinking about how to navigate through that space and what does it mean to read a poem at the Library of Congress, but then also thinking about how important it is that I even can read. I think there's a lot. There's just this, like, D.C. is filled with so much history, and these buildings were built by slaves, and, like, my southern relatives are coming to see me. Like, my great-grandma was a sharecropper. It's like, what would it mean for her to know that I was reading at the Library of Congress? She would be really proud also, so it's like, that's kind of complex in that way for me. It's just what I've been thinking about. But also, I'm excited. Like, I'm really just happy to be around y'all and get to have that experience with you guys, because you guys are just really brilliant. I'm like, ooh, I don't have that much to say, but...
Literally how I'm feeling. Like, I always, like, try and, like, think in my brain, just like, what can I say that sounds super, like, smart and poetry? And it never really works out. I say a lot.
Let me know if you figure that out.
But in terms of, like, the Library of Congress, what I've been, I've sort of been contemplating whether or not, like, it's me, like, taking that place and then making it my own, or am I just like a guest?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's what I've been trying to discover in terms of like what I'm ready to wear and all that, and like whether or not I want to be radical in like in terms of the stuff that I'm going to be like reading. Yes.
Yeah, I think like we talked about feeling invited in spaces of like extreme privilege, and like how I think poets in terms of like the political sphere are like, if we're thought of at all, it's like an afterthought. And that I feel like for a lot of these big organizations, whether it's like the government or like huge white run organizations in general, like poets of color, it's like it's seen as a charity almost, that like we're invited to be here. So I think it can be like really powerful to kind of switch that role and like switch that narrative tomorrow, hopefully, and like see how we can reclaim like a space that, you know, a stage that we're given. That could not, yes.
Yeah. There's a level of like permissiveness, and so far as when we come into this place, it feels like we're only allowed to come in so far as the Library of Congress allows us to be. Like, you can only be this brown or this queer or this whatever, right? And so I think the challenge that all of us are kind of carrying with us into tomorrow is, how do we give that narrow margin of space that's been handed to us and just completely rupture it in any way that we can? We had a really interesting conversation about, like, one side of us kind of feels like, well, I don't want to be in these, like, white, cis, hetero, patriarchal spaces at all. Like, why do I need them? Why can't I just, like, build my own spaces and give the same level of prestige to that? Dr. Camille kind of brought to our attention that while this may be true, the consequence of that is that if we, as a diverse collective, are not in those spaces, then that white cis heteropatriarchy gets to just sit and manifest in its own unchallenged, right? And continue to operate with a praxis of like oppression and power that goes unchecked. But I think the challenge all of us are kind of taking is like, how do we check that tomorrow? In a way that's very much our own, not in however much they want to allow us to.
And even like,
yeah, yeah.
should we? I don't feel obligated to teach anybody about my identity or to sit and take the time to explain myself and who I am to anybody. So also going into that space with that mentality,
Yeah. I feel too that there's it's like, when are you invited into a space without being expected to teach about your identity as well, right? Like, there's a constant burden of having to explain yourself over and over and over. And that's colonial and violent too. It's like, can you go in that space and not have the burden of having to explain yourself for being in that space, right? Like, that in its own right is kind of violent. And when are you given the privilege of talking about someone else's background or like using what privileges you do have to kind of support people who aren't you? And when is that taken away based on not being like a white, cis, hetero, et cetera, person in that space, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think like as young people, it's like we, at least I feel this, like that we have to keep like fighting for relevancy and like kind of any kind of opportunity thrown at us, we're expected to say yes because we're building experience and all that.
Uh-huh.
But like I love how like the narrative has been flipped to we are abundant in and of ourselves and like we're experts of our own experience and that it's a gift that we're giving to an audience. And I think the stage like itself is a place where like I feel unchallenged, where it's like we can share our narratives and not be like interrupted, and that's really like invincible almost and really powerful.
Yeah, I love that.
My main goal, I don't know, I kind of just think I want to like network and connect with my four soon youth poets. I'm just really like excited to like have that that like rubber band of people that I can just help and have help me, and we can all just like bring poetry to the world together. It would be great. That's my
idea.
No, I really feel that. I'm really just interested in accolades insofar as some institution says that I'm worthy or not based on these criteria. I don't really know who these judges are and how they decide who's going to be ranked, whatever. But what I do know is that in being here, in like being in this space together, we are organizing and creating a movement and recreating kind of the landscape of poetry insofar as young, diverse voices are able to be seen. And so the ability to kind of like foster that inertia and to really get the gears going on like a new space and a new like ecology for poetry to exist, that's historic. That's incredible. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
I'm just anxious, but I think I think sometimes, I don't know, just with that, I'm very excited, but also anxiety is very all-consuming. But I just think that my anxiety comes more from a place of I just don't really like competitions, and I don't like, not that this is really even a competition anyway, because it's just like what you just said, you know, but I just think that in general, I just am anxious of the idea of just being so publicly like just being seen in that way and be having to be just like on stage with people I love and people watching me. I don't know about y'all, like sometimes when I'm performing, I'm like not trying to be performing. So I think that's why I'm anxious to be seen in that way. But I'm also just really excited for people to get to witness such amazing people. And I'm excited, honestly, for the event to be over and for us to just get to sit in there and just to have... I think that's also just why my body is like, come on, let's get this over with. So then we can just have that time. I just love the part right after the performance where it's like...
Yeah.
Yes, we did that, and now we can sit in it and actually... I don't think that I ever really processed what's going on until after. So right now my brain is like, Library of Congress? People keep on being like, commencement, and I'm like, commencement? So I just think that I'm really excited for that reflection time where we can also just be like regular and just move on and just get to work, get to the real actual work. I don't even think this is like, I think us gathering is the work. I think us being together and having conversations like this is the work. But like, the Library of Congress is just a very small sliver of what we're doing, you know. So I'm excited for that food afterwards. And
oh,
together.
Yeah. We're
going
to go to
Bushwick.
We're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Kara, like, hit it on the head with my intentions of, like, how I'm feeling also. And, like, I feel like all my intentions have been set already. So, like, we share a little bit. I'm just excited to, like, make friends with, like, these amazing people. I'm excited to eat food. I'm excited to... Well, my intention is to make my family proud because I have some family coming up, too. I want to feel proud of what I leave on stage. My intention is to have a photo shoot with everyone. And yeah, just I'm really excited for what comes after because we have a year together as this cohort, and
yeah,
like I can't wait to see what we're gonna build, and I can't wait to like immerse myself in that collaboration. So
I think one of the most brilliant things about this particular organization is that they've worked so hard to make sure that this isn't a competition in most ways. Like, you really are like a group of young folks who are in coalition now, kind of building those types of futures, which is not the labor of youth, to be clear. Everyone needs to be building the future. But you are a group of really brilliant minds, and I love how this is organized. You get to be in that community now all year. So I'm excited for it. I'm here to support it. I think it's going to be rad. I'm sure we've taken up 20 minutes. What else did we not get to that you're like, wait, wait, wait?
Just be on the lookout because we are going to look so good.
I kind of just want to, you said something about being, the getting the chance to be regular. And that made me think, and I was like, like you said how exceptional we are. I was like, oh, that's like really cool. But like, I also want to reinforce, I guess, the fact that I'm really average. Like, I'm just 17-year-old. I'm just here. You know, I came right from school to right here. And I just wanted to, like, emphasize, like, that not only do I want to, like, being representative is cool and all, but I want to, like, I always want to emphasize the fact that I'm regular, and I just want to, like, serve more as an example to show that, like, hey, you, teenagers of the future, you can be me too, because I'm just regular. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I explained that well, but...
Yeah, no, I love that.
It's another intention of mine.
I'll make sure. Otherwise, I'm really excited just to support you all and post shit and be like, yeah, look at these people, average and awesome, both all at once, doing these amazing things. So I have big hearts for all of you. I'm excited to keep posted. Where my arthritis happens in like a real way. All right, y'all. I'll see you eventually. I'll see you back in Seattle. I'll see you when we get our interview going. Hopefully I'll stick to you around. Shout out. Cheering you on over here. Right. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.